To Israel now, and with 40%, yes, that's 40% of the country's population vaccinated against the coronavirus, life is beginning to return to some semblance of what we recall as normal. Restaurants, bars and cafes have reopened to vaccinated green pass holders. Gyms, pools and other facilities as well are also open to those holding these passes. Let's talk to Paul Kearns. He's based in Tel Aviv and he joins me now. Good morning, Paul. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Paul, do you have a feeling at the moment, you and others in Israel, that you're living perhaps in a future that Ireland and many other countries still dream about?
There's a very conscious feeling of that here. And obviously, Israelis are very aware that they're leading the world in terms of vaccinations. But I think their primary focus is the reality that life has effectively returned to normal, as you say. I mean, Tel Aviv is quite, you know, the city's buzzing. The restaurants and the bars, you say, are open. And the city just feels as it was maybe a year and a half ago, except that everybody continues to wear masks.
Okay, tell me about these green passes that you all carry now as proof of vaccination and how that works.
Well, you can download the Green Pass from a government website or get a physical copy onto your phone. You can download it. It's available to those who've had the second dose about 10 days after their second dose. And it runs for about 6 months. So 6 months that it may have to be renewed. And effectively, you are not permitted to enter, as you said, gyms, pools, cinemas, sporting events, and indoor dining. Unless you have the green pass, the only thing you can do is go to shopping malls and you can sit outdoors.
So it's your golden ticket. It unlocks the door to many of the events and areas where you want to go. Do you have concerts, theatre and musical events back yet?
Concerts and the culture has returned. Cinemas are open with distancing. Cultural event that I think hasn't opened so far is nightclubs, but bars, cinemas, theatres, yes, with rules as before in terms of social distancing.
And yet, Paul, is this worrying? I see that you still have a daily caseload of positive tests of around 4,000.
Yeah, that's the primary concern. That the numbers have dipped substantially since Christmas. It was about 10,000 or 11,000 in January, but there is concern given the fact, as you say, over half the country has been given the first dose, and that effectively translates as 80% of adults, as under 16-year-olds are not getting it yet. So 80% of adults have the first dose, and over 60% have the second. And yet the cases remain stubbornly high, as you say, 3,000 to 4,000. They're putting that down to the fact that, you know, the British variant or the Brazilian variant or the South African variant arrived slightly late here. But I think the key message out of that is that the amount of people who are getting seriously ill and elderly people getting ill is completely, you know, disappearing or you know, falling. So the numbers reflect maybe people in their 20s and 30s.
And what about take-up of the vaccine programme? Is there resistance to vaccination there? And what is the health system doing about that?
Like most countries, there's a tiny proportion of people, for whatever reason, have chosen not to and are resisting getting that. And it is making the news. It's a controversial topic in the news, particularly around employment rights. The government is, you know, toying with legislation that allows employers to move people around. Hospitals, I know a hospital in Jerusalem has taken doctors and nurses, funny enough, who refuse to get vaccinated, about 5% of the staff. They've taken them out of any contact with patients. And there's stories of teachers being removed from employment if they're in contact with a high number of in-class teaching. So it remains controversial.
And of course, without your green passport, you don't have access, as you say, to cafes and restaurants and so on. There is a vaccination program now for Palestinians who come to Israel for work purposes or work in Israel. But what about this whole question of the sharing of vaccines with Gaza and the West Bank?
It's a complicated story. Obviously, Israeli-Palestinian citizens of Israel, the majority of them are vaccinated, and Palestinians in East Jerusalem who have a right to live in East Jerusalem are also have the right to access to vaccination. But you're right, about 100,000, the plan is about 100,000 Palestinians who work in Israel, Israel is willing to vaccinate. I think only about 13,000 of them have been done so far. But as for Gaza and the vast majority of Palestinians in the West Bank, some 5 million people, the answer is no. There isn't evidence or there isn't, you know, media story that the government has any plan, and they are sending vaccines abroad.
They are sending vaccines abroad, but is there any pressure coming on them to share with the occupied territories?
I'll be frank and say, you know, it's a story in certain quarters of the media, and, you know, it's obviously a controversial topic, but I wouldn't say there's a clamour in mainstream media to discuss this. And in terms of, you know, the moral responsibility, obviously, is significant, but the logistics, the in terms of making sense, as I said, 100,000 Palestinians work on a regular basis in Israel, so there's a huge movement across the Green Line. So it makes sense in that sense.
Indeed. Paul, thank you very much for joining us and telling us about life in Israel with 40% of the population vaccinated. That's Paul Kearns from Tel Aviv. It's 9 minutes to 8 o'clock.